Hello guys, welcome to another Chalk Dude podcast. I know it's been an absolute age since I've done one, so I've just been mega busy since the start of the new year. We've got loads of new things happening down at the gym. I've been doing some extra school contracts, doing some like PE lessons during the day and that kind of thing. So yeah, like loads of big things happening down here at Chalk D. I was part of a WhatsApp group discussion talking about self-defense, so that's what we're going to be talking about today, and benefits of like using warm-ups and this kind of thing. So the initial start to the discussion was one of the guys, he'd been injured because he comes down to class, dives straight into rolling, he's got injured, and now is a bit kind of reluctant of kind of getting back on the horse. We all go through these injuries, but it was part of the discussion then led into, well, what happens if you're in a self-defense situation? If a lot of people train for self-defense or you might be in an environment where you need to be physical and maybe working like on the doors or whatever, and there's no kind of warm-up time or anything, you have to be kind of straight in at the deep end. So the discussion went on to like benefits of warming up and digging into a bit of the kind of science behind what warm-ups are actually for. Is it just a nice way of easing you into the intensity, or is there something scientifically happening with your body? Okay, so, and this is what I wanted to touch on. So basically when you're warming up, there's a ramp process. What you're trying to do is you're trying to ramp your body up to activate, to raise your heart rate, to activate the muscles that have been using, develop correct kind of movement patterns, and get this like potentiation of the muscle in order to kind of prime it for the demands that it's going to be put under. Now, yeah, so some warm-up drills, some warm-up exercises can be a bit boring, can sometimes be a bit kind of onerous, maybe taking a little bit too long, but yeah, I mean, coming from a boxing and Thai boxing background, loads of people say, well, there's no point to doing your like loads and loads of morning runs and this kind of thing. But the fact of the matter is that those morning runs build up your cardiovascular base. They build up your kind of oxygen tank. So although, yes, it does take a long time, and when you start like drilling down into the nitty gritty of what you're going to be getting into, if you've got a bigger like oxygen volume tank when you get into it, then you're going to have more energy when it comes to the actual fight, even though you may like get into the sport specifics of, well, I'm only actually training for or getting ready for a 5-minute contest, a 15-minute contest, whatever. Okay, what's the point in doing a 2-hour run or running for 10 miles? I don't need to be working at that level of intensity, because the intensity of the exit of the competition is very different. Well, okay, there is some credibility to that, but what we're trying to do is improve your general fitness preparedness. Okay, what you're trying to do is develop a bigger like cardiovascular capacity in order to, so that you can build from that platform. That's like your foundation. So if you've got stronger foundations, you're going to have a stronger performance. When we're training, we have to look at what we're actually doing. So what we're actually doing is that we're trying to put our bodies through a certain process so that we learn instinctive movements, so that when you want to do something, you can do it with the utmost efficiency. So this takes us back to the neuromuscular coordination. What we're talking about here is we're trying to find the, we're thinking of the right technique. We have to send that message through our central nervous system to our muscles in order to activate that move. When we activate that move, there's an electrical signal, like an electrical pulse sent through our nervous system. When that electrical pulse is sent through the nervous system, it attracts like a fatty substance to be laid down around those nerves. That fatty substance is called myelin, okay? Within the fatty substance, it's packed with neurotransmitters, and it's this kind of coordination that develops the thing called kinetic linking. We learn to coordinate these moves. So although you'll be looking at a cellular level for these neurotransmitters, all these neurotransmitters talk to each other. So even when you're processing the move, you know that it has, the muscles need to fire off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in that order, with that specific timing and cadence between the moves to make the move more fluid. That's essentially what we're doing. Whenever we're training, we're trying to coordinate our bodies so that we move more fluidly, more efficiently, and this is when you get the graciousness of move. What this is doing is that it's then putting us in a situation where we learn timing and reactions. So in essence, the aim of the game is to come into training, ramp your body up, so raising your heart rate, activation, movement patterns and potentiation. Once your body is in a state of physical preparedness, you're then trying to move your body into learning specific moves, so that you can learn reactions, and then you react to the impulses that are given back to you by your partner, by your training partners. This is what we're trying to do. So from this point, we now get into, well, I don't have time to do all that when I'm in a self-defense mode. No, because when you're in self-defense mode, you've already put in the hard work, you've already built the foundations, you've already had your body ready and prepared from training so that you can learn it in a specific fashion. You've done all the coordination movements. Now all these movements become more natural, so that you don't need as much effort in order to do the like getting someone out of the bar or something, if that's the task. If you're doing it in a self-defense move, you don't have time to do the warm-up, but you've put in the hard work, you've put in the time, you've put in the commitment in training in order to coordinate yourself, in order to lay down that myelin around your nerves so that it needs less muscular effort. And when it needs less muscular effort, this is when you can look around at guys that have been on the mats for years. They might have done like 2, 3, 4 rounds of sparring, high intensity with good guys, and you look around and sometimes they're not even breaking a sweat. Like, how are those guys so energy efficient? Because they've laid down the myelin, they've laid down the fatty substance around their nerves to coordinate themselves so that it takes less muscular energy and it's more down to the timing and fluidity and relaxation of being able to deliver the moves at the correct kind of timing. So when we're in a self-defense situation, probably we're not going to be up against people that are trained martial artists. We're not going to be up against people that are that kind of know what they're doing, and they've got the time enough technique, and they'll know how to react when another experienced martial artist kind of grabs hold of them. So if you've got that kind of efficiency, when you've got this level of efficiency, you don't need to be warm. You don't need to be as ramped up. Okay, there's already going to be adrenaline in your system, so that's going to serve as a almost like an anesthetic at the time. You've put in the hard work with your training to have a good level of cardiovascular fitness. You've pushed yourself to levels within training once you've ramped up through the warm up exercises, and you're warm and efficient and fluid in the through the training exercises. This is what has meant that we're now laying down the myelin efficiently, so then we can learn and deliver the technique efficiently when we're in self-defense mode. So that's my understanding, and it's not as simple as just saying, well, I don't need to do the warm-ups because I'm training for self-defense. Yes, you do. You still need to learn to train yourself and be efficient, so you build your foundations stronger. And when you build your foundations stronger, this is when you can train for longer. Obviously, if you're training and all you ever do is train at a very light level and doing these kind of slower floor drills, as soon as you come up against someone that's trying to use a lot of muscular energy, your body won't be prepared for that. So yes, you do need these high intensity drills with resisting opponents in order to test the strength of the movement, but also to get the feedback of the movement when someone is resisting. So when someone's resisting, they're in an isolated plane, in a single plane of resistance. For those of you that are coming from a jiu-jitsu perspective, this single plane of movement, this single bracing of movement in one direction, it'll be really obvious where the next movement is, just to kind of knock that base off balance, to maybe sweep them, or you reverse that movement, or you go with the energy and you kind of flow back and forwards between kind of sweeping him one way, sweeping him the other, hip bumping him maybe, whatever. Okay, I mean there's loads of different ideas and technique flaws that we've done. So I hope that kind of explains my attitude towards having a good solid warm-up, making sure that we're training safely, but also learning efficiently to coordinate the moves. And then when you're coordinating the moves, you're doing it with a little bit more resistance to kind of test the muscular support around that nervous system signal. Okay. I hope I've kind of explained that succinctly. I mean, I'm just kind of talking off the cuff here. So, I think I've covered everything there. If there's any questions or want to challenge that thought process or got any questions, yeah, just hit me up, send me a message. A quick short one, just to kind of get back into the swing of things with these podcasts, and let's get moving again. All right, thanks a lot, guys. Hope to speak to you soon, and I'll see you on the flip side. See you later. Bye bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.